Father's Day. Amen. Turn to turn to a father and tell him Happy Father's Day this morning.
Happy Father's Day.
Yeah. It's a good day. It's a good day. I always love preaching Father's Day messages, and I have to inspect my buckets again. I came in Sunday school this morning. First thing I saw was this bucket like that. And I so wanted to interrupt Sunday school and come straighten it up. That's on my bucket list. Is everything straight, everything in order? I love preaching Father's Day. I love the messages that the Lord puts in our hearts. I love to be able to illustrate it in a real way. And right off the bat this morning, I'm going to be talking about a dad's bucket list. A dad's bucket list. I'm going to be speaking about that in just a moment. But in order to kind of kick that off, I just looked and see what actually is a bucket list. And before I get to that, let me say this. And this is where all the dads in the room, punch the wife or punch the kids and say, pay attention, you need to hear this. I just want to get this, this needs to get straight right up front. Pay attention, you need to hear this part of this. A bucket list has nothing to do with cleaning out the garage. A bucket list has absolutely nothing to do with washing your car. Nothing at all to do with washing your car. Bucket list has nothing to do whatsoever with cleaning the yard. Can I get an amen from the men in the room? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my word. Oh, that was too bad. Whoa. Wow. How do you follow that up? I don't know what to do. Hey, but I did look up what actually is a bucket list. And a bucket list is actually a term that's come into vogue in the last 10 years or so, really over the last 5 or 6 years. And a bucket list actually, according to Urban Dictionary, a bucket list actually is a list of things that you want to do before you kick the bucket. That's it. I mean, it's before you die. But Urban Dictionary says it's a list of things that you want to accomplish before you kick the bucket. And so kind of in prep for that, I text a bunch of guys, many of them in here, and many of them and some of them not. But I asked them. I said, just give me a list of some things. What is the wildest thing on your bucket list? What is the next thing on your bucket list? What is the thing you're most proud of on your bucket list? And I got some interesting responses back. The wildest thing on your bucket list, some said zip line. Somebody wants zip line. And what's fascinating about that is who it was. And I promised I wouldn't tell. But I just had this picture of this person on a zip line. And it just, you know. Another one says go skydiving. I was surprised by who said that as well. Somebody else says go to Brazil. They want to go to Brazil. One of the most fascinating ones, I want to train to be an underwater welder. Wow. And that's just weird. That's a cool thing to be on a bucket list. And what's interesting about it, well, one thing, it wasn't Kevin, because you know Kevin is a welder. But what I find, electricity and water and welding underwater, I don't know. There's just something about that that just... Someone said the wildest thing is they want to snowboard the Australian Alps. Snowboard the Australian Alps. And that's somebody here. The thing that I want to do next is I would love to just travel to Alaska. I've just always been fascinated with Alaska. My wildest thing is probably the marathon that I ran when I was 40. The year I turned 40 years old, running that marathon was incredible. The thing that you want to do next. There were many things about travel on here. One said start my own IT company. I just thought that was pretty cool. One said they want to tour the major battlefields of World War II. Another one said Israel, and by the way, that would be something that would be on my list as well. One said, and no secret as to who this is, the next thing on their bucket list, they actually have a date for it, November 10th of this year, run the world's toughest mudder 24-hour endurance test. The world's toughest mudder. I said I wasn't going to tell who they were. I said I wasn't going to tell who they were. So one put on here, and I'm not. I promised them I wouldn't tell who this was, but I'm not. But this one said, and it may not sound very adventurous. This one said, "Travel to Disney with my kids." And that may not sound very adventurous unless you knew who this was. That's just got to sink in a minute before you. The thing that I'm most proud of is interesting, because I specifically said, "Don't try to be serious and don't try to be spiritual with it. We're just having fun with this." But it's fascinating, because nearly all of the ones I'm most proud of, it turned toward family and marriage, even though I had intentionally said don't. It just naturally. And that was encouraging to me. Because I specifically said don't go that way intentionally. And most all of them had something to say about marriage and family. Being married to my wife is the thing I'm most proud of. My kids are the thing I'm most proud of. And I would echo that. Working on 34 years of marriage with Geraldine, I am the most proud of, and my girls and what they've done. But some got real specific with it. One said, "The thing I'm most proud of is kissing my bride under the Eiffel Tower." Aww. Yeah, come on, collectively now. But that's pretty cool, I got to tell you. There's not many here that can say that. Passing my professional exam and starting a new career in the last year. Another one, graduating college as an adult, and that's something that I'm proud of as well. Another one said serving in the military and retiring from the military. But I was fascinated by how much these turned to marriage and family. When it got to that section, even though I had intentionally said, "Listen, you don't have to go there," which kind of brings me to where I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about a dad's bucket list. I'm not going to be very, very long this morning, but I do want to talk about just a minute a dad's bucket list. Now, let me say up front that when it comes to a dad's bucket list, there are innumerable things that could be on dad's bucket list, and they are highly individualized, and so the things that I want to talk about, three things this morning that should be on every dad's bucket list. Three things that should be on every dad's bucket list. And they're not going to necessarily be revelation, but it's going to be something we're going to think about. I also want to say this. Today, just like with every time I preach these special messages, it has application for every one of us. In other words, this morning I'm preaching a dad's bucket list because it is Father's Day. However, the lessons here that I want to talk about are going to apply to every one of us, and I'm just going to give just three things this morning that I think must be on every dad's bucket list. Three things that must be on every dad's bucket list. So, first thing that must be on every dad's bucket list, put God absolutely first. Put God absolutely first. The verse for that is Joshua 24:4-15. Now, what's interesting here is Joshua, when he spoke this verse, it was his last words to the nation of Israel. It was the last things he was going to say. He was giving them directions for how to live in the land, how to live in the land and possess the land completely. And here's what he said. He said, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness." Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Can I tell you something? That's good, not just for all the dads here, but for every one of us here this morning. Obviously, that word fear means reverence and to have reverence and all. But serve there means to work for him. And to work for him with all faithfulness, that means in a complete, intact, straightforward manner. And then he goes on. Then Joshua goes on and says this. Listen to this, dads. Listen to this, all of us. Throw away the gods of your ancestors beyond the Euphrates in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord, so in other words, he doesn't just say, Joanne, serve the Lord faithfully and serve him and minister him faithfully, but he says throw away all the other gods. So what is he saying? He's saying serve the Lord only. Right? Serve the Lord only. And can I tell you something today? This put God absolutely first is becoming more and more and more of a challenge in the society that we live in today, because so many things are being promoted as worthy to be first in your life and in my life. And this really is true for men. There's so many things that are competing for that first place. So many things that are competing for that first spot. So many things. And some of them are like laudable. Some of them are worthy things, but they should not be first place in our life. I'm telling you, the one thing that must be on every dad's bucket list in the generation that we live in today is you must put God absolutely first. Career is incredible, but it cannot be first. Marriage is awesome, but it cannot be first. Kids are phenomenal, but they cannot be first. Making money, there's nothing wrong with that, but it cannot be first. Being successful in a particular area, listen, there's nothing wrong with that, but it cannot be first. What absolutely must be first today is you must put God first. Put God. Well, go on and give him praise if you're going to give him praise, yeah. That's got to be on every dad's bucket list. Amen? That we put God first. Now, here's the real challenge of it. It's not enough that we put him first and we put him only. In other words, putting away the other gods. But then he says this. This is Joshua now. This is a familiar verse, but I don't know if you've thought about it this way. He says, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you. You know, it seems undesirable to a lot of people today. Serving the Lord seems undesirable to a lot of people today. And he says, but if serving the Lord, it seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. If serving the Lord, if putting God first seems undesirable today, then choose who you will serve. You know what he's saying? You're going to serve somebody. Every one of us is going to serve somebody, and you choose. You either choose intentionally, purposely, or you choose in a latent way where it just kind of happens. But you choose who you will serve, whether it's the gods of the ancestors and the Amorites and the Euphrates in the land in who you live. But then he says this, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You hear what he's saying? And can I tell you something this morning? When it comes to our bucket list, what he is saying is you must put God first in an environment where many are desiring to do other things, right? But you, as the dad in the home, as the priest of the household, as the husband in the household, as the man in the home, you more than anybody else must make a stand and say, but in this house, we will serve the Lord. We will put him absolutely first. I know what the neighbors are doing, but we're going to put God first. I understand that your friends are going on that trip, but we're going to put God first. I understand that others are doing other things on Sundays, but we are going to put God first. Amen? Amen. It's got to be on every dad's bucket list. It absolutely has to be on every dad's bucket list. Put God absolutely first. Say it with me. Put God absolutely first. It's got to be on your bucket list. It's got to be on every dad's bucket list. Item number two that has to be on every dad's bucket list is this. Walk in integrity. Walk in integrity. Proverbs puts it this way. The righteous man walks in his integrity. Wow. The righteous man walks in his integrity. The word righteous there, we've talked about righteousness a number of times, and I love the working definition that we, through searching out the word, came up with about 2 years ago, and we've used it over and over again as we went to the scriptures and talked about it. Righteousness is actually a life that has been so impacted by the character of God that it shows up in our morals, decisions, actions, and deeds. Righteousness is not this out there. It's an out there sounding word, but it's not. Sometimes we say righteousness and we think that's the other person, the other individual, the really spiritual person. But a righteous person is someone who's been so impacted by the character of God that their morals, decisions, deeds, actions, words take on that quality in their own life. So a righteous man, watch this, walks in his integrity. Integrity means it is pure. It is that which is blameless. Integrity is that which is blameless. That which is pure. It is exact. And it's fascinating. This scripture, the righteous man walks in his blamelessness. It is pure. Let me see if I can illustrate it this way. I read once, and this illustrates it so well. Who are the math people in the room? Who are the math people in the room? An integer, what is an integer? It's a number that is that it hasn't been divided by fractions, right? That's an integer. I mean, that's a working definition. Number that hasn't been divided by fractions, that's an integer. A man of integrity is not divided in himself. He's not divided in himself. In other words, his principles come out in his words. His morals show in his actions. His convictions show in his decisions and how he conducts his life. He doesn't say one thing and do another. He doesn't believe one thing and act another. He's not one way in private and another way in public. A righteous man, a man that has been impacted by the character and nature of God, he walks by his decision, by his principles. He walks by his conviction. He walks by his morals. He's not divided in himself. There it is. We talk about integrity in many ways, in ways that are kind of aloof and kind of out there, but a man of integrity is someone who is not divided in themselves. They are who they are. Their convictions mandate and what they do and who they are and how they treat people and the business decisions they make and how they conduct themselves with their marriage and their children. They walk by their integrity. Listen to me. Walk in integrity. And then that Proverbs goes on to say this. I love that the wise man writing the proverb just didn't just leave it there. He said this, the righteous man walks in his integrity and his children are blessed after him. Wow, there it is. There it is. You see, when I walk in integrity, when you and I walk in integrity, we aren't just blessed. Our children are blessed after us. Stephen Covey put it this way. He said this way, people with integrity are those whose words match their deeds and whose behavior mirrors their values. And the proverb, the wise man says this, says that a man that lives that way, his children are blessed after him. Now, I want to make a connection here this morning. There is a connection between putting God first and walking in integrity. And here it is. If you truly, absolutely put God first, you will walk with integrity. Now, here's where it gets tough, guys, but let's just be real here for a minute, right? But if I say I'm putting God absolutely first, but my family and children see me not walk with integrity, what does that say about that first one? It says I haven't truly put God first. Wow, there it is. In other words, my walk has got to carry out what I've said. If I put God first, I'm going to walk in the integrity of that, and my children will be blessed. Let me flip that around and tell you this. There are going to be decisions in your life. Your children are waiting to see you walk with integrity because they want to know that you put God first and you did it in a way that you can actually and really live it out in a real way. Quick story, and then I'll go on to the third point. Quick story here. Man and his son, true story, I apologize to you. I have forgotten the names, but it just came back to me here in just a moment. The night before bass season started, the day before bass season started, late in the evening, a man and his son were fishing on a lake. They owned a little cabin on a lake near their home, and they were fishing. And the son, who was about 12 years old, they were just minnow fishing, and he just, on a whim, he put a lure on, a topwater lure, and he throws it out there, and it's about 10 o'clock at night, throws it out there, and he's reeling it in, just kind of on a whim, and it sounds like because I don't know if you fished at night, but you hear before you see, and it sounds like a whale has just swallowed the lure, and the pole doubles over, and this dad watches his son just reeling in, and it turns out it is when they get it on shore, they gently lift him up, and it is the biggest largemouth bass that the dad or the son, either one, have ever caught out of that lake. And they celebrate it, and they enjoy it. But then the dad checks his watch, and he said, "Son, it's 10 p.m. It's 2 hours before bass season starts. We have no choice but to let him go." And the son just says, "Dad, you know, he's looking around." Right? Nobody's going to see. Nobody's going to know, right? And his dad said, "Yeah, but son, we'll know." will know. The son takes the lure out of the lip of the bass and drops him back in the water and lets him swim off. And the son then writes later, he said, I've never caught that bass again, but I've seen him many times. When I had a chance to make a decision that compromised my integrity, to make money off of it or something that way, he said, and that bass would come to mind, and if nobody else saw it, I could see it, and I choose to live with integrity. See, dads, they're watching. They want to see us live with integrity, not to catch us when we're wrong, but to prove that we are, that putting God first absolutely will work. Amen? Amen. Amen. Say it with me. The second one, walk with integrity. Say it again. Walk in integrity. Third principle dovetails with the one that I just said, and it is this: teach your children to do the same. In other words, put God first. Walk in integrity and teach your children to do the same. That's got to be in every dad's bucket list. It's got to be in our bucket. Deuteronomy puts it this way. Again, I told you this, there's not so much revelation about this, but more than that, us thinking about it. Deuteronomy puts it this way. This, by the way, is another one of those last words. Moses puts it this way in Deuteronomy 6:6-9. These commandments that I give you today are to be pressed on your hearts. In other words, they are to be pressed on your hearts. They must be what I've commanded, what I've taught, what I've said. They have to be in your heart. They've got to be in your life. They got to be a part of your character. They got to be a part of your nature. Moses had just taught them about how to live for the Lord. And he said, these things have to be impressed on your heart. And then he has this: and you impress them on your children. Talk about them when they sit at home and when you walk along the road. When you lie down and when you get up, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your forehead. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Do you hear what he's saying here? What he's saying here is in every activity of life, let the commandments and the word of the Lord be impressed upon you, and you then impress them upon children in every single opportunity that you get in every area of life. When you are playing ball in the backyard, look for an opportunity to impress the principles of God on them. When they're making a decision about homework, look for an opportunity to impress them about God. When you're cleaning the yards together, look for an opportunity to impress them about God. When they leave in the morning to go to school, impress them, impress upon them the commandments and the word of God. Let it be impressed on you in such a way, and then you impress it upon them. And you know, That's what dads do more than we realize. That which is impressed upon us gets impressed upon our children. It gets pressed into our children. That which is our character, that which is our nature, how important then it is. You see how each of these three depend upon the other. Put God absolutely first, walk in integrity, and teach your children to do the same. You cannot teach your children to do what you are not doing. There it is. Now, I love encouraging dads, and I hope that I have this morning, but I also want to put it right down where we live. We cannot, if it's not impressed upon me, I can't impress it upon them. If you want your son to grow up to be a godly man, you got to be a godly man. If you want your daughter to be honest, you've got to be honest, right? We must, because that which is impressed upon us gets impressed upon them. I want to encourage you this morning as dads. There are three things that absolutely have to be on every dad's bucket list. Now, there's a lot of other things that will go on a dad's bucket list, and many of them highly individualized, but these three things have to go on every dad's bucket list. Put God absolutely first. Amen? Walk in integrity. Amen? And teach your children to do the same. And here's what I'm telling you this morning. Here's what I'm telling you this one. If you put God first, if you walk in integrity, and if you teach others to do the same, you will be a long way on completing your bucket list. Not just as a dad, But we have moms here this morning. We have single moms that you've fulfilled two roles. We have granddads that have you're doing this not only for your children, but now you're doing it for your children. We have other men in here that you've never been a biological father, but you have mentored so many people. And I encourage you to put God absolutely first, to walk in integrity, and to teach others to do the same. And when you do that, you go a long way in completing your bucket list. You know, if we were to sit here this morning and make a bucket list as dads of things that we want to do in regards to our marriage and our children, I mean, the list would just be endless. I mean, it would go on and on about what kind of children we want to raise and what kind of marriage we want to have and what kind of careers we want our kids to have and what kind of people we want to see them marry and what kind of friends we want to have. But can I tell you something? All that list of things hinges, I'm telling you, on those three things. Put God absolutely first. Walk in integrity. And teach your children to do the same, and you will go a long way on completing your bucket list. Amen? Amen? Give the Lord praise. That's a good word. That's a good word this morning. You see, that bucket list is the difference maker in your family. It absolutely is a difference maker in your family. So here's what I want to do this morning. I told you I wasn't going to preach very long. This morning, and I'm gonna keep my word this morning. Here's what we're gonna do. I want to give one of these buckets to every dad that is here. And the reason is because it says, "Let's do this," right? Let's do this, Dean. Let's put God absolutely first, Woody. Let's walk in integrity, Travis. Let's teach our children to do the same. Amen. JR, let's put God absolutely, let's do this. Let's put God absolutely first. Mike, let's do this. Let's walk in integrity. Paul, let's do this. Let's teach our children and others to do the same. Amen? Because if that's our bucket list, it will go a long way on completing our bucket list. So here's how we're going to do this. Remember how we, and teenagers, you're going to have to take the lead in this. You're going to have to take the lead in this. Here's what I want to do this morning. We did it for the moms. I want to do it for the dads this morning. What we're going to do is I'm going to ask every dad in a minute to come up and to get you a bucket. And when you take, and I want Mike to have this bucket. Mike said, no, I don't want that one. I want the orange one. But here's the thing. I can't stand it. I'm sorry. but here's what I want. I want every dad in a minute. And when I count to three in a minute, I'm going to ask every dad to get up and come and get you a bucket. But when we do that, I'm going to ask to just give a shout and an applause and a hand clap and a praise. And teenager, you're going to have to, I'm depending on y'all to take the lead because these old folks don't know how to do this. So I'm depending on y'all to take the lead. So I'm going to count to three. First of all, let's do this, make it easier. I want everybody to stand. Everybody stand, if you will. And I don't want this to stop until every dad has a bucket. Okay? Okay? Unless we got one that's just sitting back there waiting to see how long it'll go. Then we may. But when I count to three, I want every dad to move out and come get you a bucket. And when I count to three, I want everybody else. I just want you to shout and scream and give an applause. Dads don't get enough applause. Dads do not get enough applause. Listen, I agree with Geraldine. I'm standing in the presence of some amazing dads this morning. I'll add this quick thing. The last 10 years I've watched it have been fascinating, which makes me honor you so much more this morning. I've watched it. It's been fascinating. The last 10 years, even in the church and even among Christians, Father's Day has become a day of excuse to go doing something else besides church in many churches. It's Father's Day. It's a day I have an excuse not to go to church. I applaud you for being here this morning with your dad and as a dad bringing your children. And so I'm just saying, dads don't get enough applause. Dads get beat down in our society. So on the count of three, you ready? On the count of three, I want every dad to come and get a bucket. And I want the rest of us to just scream and holler and applaud. Ready? One, two, three. Go! Go! Hey, come on now. Yeah, keep it up. Dr. Baxter. Dr. Baxter. Oh, yeah. 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 Come on. We got a couple more. Come on. Yeah. Yes. Yes. You know, I think the Father smiles when we celebrate godly fathers. Amen. And I encourage you today. I do say happy Father's Day to you. I do encourage you, Dad, put God absolutely first. Walk or live in integrity and teach your children and others to do the same. I do applaud. We've got some men here, Dr. Baxter, for example. I tried to get him to come down, but he didn't. He's mentored probably more children than all the rest of us put together. And we praise all of you that have had an influence in people's lives. Men, you make a difference. Don't ever, ever forget it. You make a real real difference. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you and we praise you today for the privilege we've had to come to allow your Spirit to speak into our lives. We thank you for godly men, men that are putting God absolutely first, men that are walking in integrity, men that are teaching their children to do the same. And today, Lord, we thank you that we can celebrate you and celebrate them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One thing real quick before I speak the blessing over you. I need to ask your forgiveness for not teaching on forgiveness this Wednesday. We had a little family situation. Geraldine spent some time in the ER. She is fine, but I will be teaching on forgiveness this Wednesday night. At least that's my intentions. And so as you go for Father's Day today, enjoy each other and enjoy your fathers. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance on you and give you peace. Go in the blessings of the Lord. God bless you. We love you.